Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Ksubos Pehei. We are on Pedal Damid Beis, four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Yemar Bar Choshu, that was his name. Hava Masik Beizuzi Bahu Gavar. He had a monetary claim against a certain person who owed him money. Shachiv, that fellow passes away. Vishavik Arba, and leaves behind a boat. Amar Lishluchei. So Yemar Bachoshu, the creditor, the Baal Chayiv, turns to a Shaliach. He says, look, can you do me a favor and get that boat for me? Zil Tafsa Nihali, please grab a hold of that boat on my behalf. So he did Tfisa on something which is non-real estate, Tfisa b'metaltalin. So taking possession of metaltalin after a person's passing, well, that's subject to machlekes in yesterday's daf. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it works. According to Rabbi Kiva, it doesn't work. If it was taken after the person's death. So Yemar decided to go ahead and do Tfisa. Problem is, instead of personally going, he had somebody do it on his behalf, who followed his instructions. Azal, this fellow went ahead, Tafsa, took hold of the yacht. Pogu b'Rav Papa, v'Rav Huna b'Rei Davishua. These two Amiraim met this fellow who was now leading the ship through the middle of the river. Amrulay, they tell him, there's a problem. At, look what you're doing. Taifes l'Baal Chayv, sure, you're taking possession on behalf of Yemar Bar Choshu, who is a Baal Chayv, who perhaps is deserving of this item to offset that loan, but you cannot do it on his behalf. B'makim shechav la'achirim, because look, by doing it for him, you're actually working to the detriment of other creditors who perhaps want access to the same assets. You have no right to pick sides, to favor this Baal Chayv over others. You are not the creditor. You are not the Baal Chayv. You come into the assistance of a Baal Chayv to the detriment of the other Baal Chayvs who also want to collect on their loans, and you have no right to do that. V'omer Rabbi Yechanan, ha'tayfis l'Baal Chayv. V'mokim shechav l'acherim l'ikona. If one grabs an item on behalf of a Baal Chayv, when there are other individuals who also have a claim against this person, who also want to collect on their debts, you can't pick one over the other. You have no right to do that. And Tosfos points out, even if you made a shliach, it doesn't work. Such as in this case, when Yemar sent his fellow to do it on his behalf, you can't do that. Some of Farshim learn it's like an avera. You're asking him to do something inappropriate, to grab something for you, when it's to the detriment of other people. So, you have to let go. Tafsuha inhu. So they, who also had a loan against this departed fellow, they went ahead and grabbed a hold of that boat from this fellow to offset their loan. Because they had a personal claim. It wasn't a shliach. They had a personal right to collect on their loan. So each one had his own loan. And they both grabbed a hold of that boat for repayment. What did they do? How did they acquire the boat? What type of kinyan did they perform? Rapapa mimlach meluchi. Rapapa moved the oars around. So he tried that as a kinyan. Mefarshim learn kinyan chazaka to row the oars. Rafuna breda Rishua mam tachla ba'ashla. He led the boat ba'ashla with a rope. So one is doing the oars as per kinyan chazaka, an expression of ownership. One is leading, pulling the boat as an expression of meshicha. Two types of kinyanim. Question is, which one is superior? Which one of these amoiroim actually acquired the boat to offset his loan? Mar Omar ano kanina lo lukula. One of these amoiroim maintained that he acquired the boat. His kinyan is the one that's effective. Umar Omar ano kanina lalakula. The other Amira claimed the opposite. Well, my kinyan is superior to yours, and I acquired the boat. In any case, the story continues. Paga Buhura Pinchas Barami. Rav Pinchas meets them while they're engaged in acquiring the boat, which in fact is Metaltalin. But since they are taking possession, they are doing Tefisa. They maintain that it works. So Rav Pinchas Barami meets them and he says, what do you mean? Amar Lui tells them, Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu, we learned yesterday that according to both Rav and Shmuel, the only way to do Tefisa on Metaltalin of Yisoymin is if it's not yet in their possession. V'hu provided Shetzvurin Umunachin B'Shesarabim. It's piled up, it's stationed in the middle of the street, not a private area, which can relate to the owners. It's sitting half, sitting in the street. Now you can go and grab it. But otherwise, if it's in a more private area, it is considered in possession of the Yusaimim, in which case you can't claim Metaltalin from them. And he figured this boat had been sitting at the side of the river, which is like an alleyway, like a simta discussed yesterday, which affords some privacy, which is designated for personal use. In which case, it's as though the Yusaimim are in possession of this boat. So you can't take it any longer. Amru Leisa, so they responded to him, no. Ananami, we too, Mecharifusa, the Nahara Tafis. Now we're grabbing it from the middle of the river, where there are other boats, which is like a Rishis HaRabim, in which case, we're not taking it from the owners, we're taking it from, you know, mid-sea. In which case, Tfisa would work. Oh, so look, I made the Rabba. Then they approached Rabba, who found out about the whole episode. Amar Lahu, he tells them, what are you doing? Grabbing boats from Yesaimim. Kaki means like ducks, chivri, white ducks, because of their older age. The Gili Nashas, Reki Vega, cites a Gemara in Brachas, Dafnan Zayin. When one sees a duck in a dream, he should anticipate wisdom. So a duck is somehow related to wisdom. So sort of a compliment. Kaki chivri mishalchi glimi de inshi. You are removing people's clothing, meaning what right do you have to repossess this fellow's boat? Hachi amar of Nachman. You can't grab, you can't take possession of metaltalin that belonged to Yisaimim after their father's death unless you took possession during his lifetime. So basically Rav Nachman is following that shita. Shita's Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't allow tfisa from Yisaimim. Go give it back to him. Continues the Gemara. Avimi, who was the son of Brei de Rabbi Avo, the son of Rabbi Avo, Havomaski Beizuzi Beichuzoi. The fellows in the town of Chuzoi had a financial claim on him. He owed them money. Shadrinu, so Avimi took the funds and he sent it to his creditors, Biyad Chama, through the person called Chama, who was the grandson of Rabbi Avo, Braid the Rabbi, the son of Rabba, Bar, who was the son of Avo. So basically, Chama was a nephew of Avimi. Right? Father was Avo, he had a son Avimi, who owed the money, who sent it with Chama, who was the grandson of Avo, of Rabbi Avo. So it was his nephew. Azoparinu. So Chama went ahead and repaid the loan. Amar Lahu, he tells the creditors, Havulish Dora, what about the document? Please give me back the document. Amru Le Sitroi Ninu. So they pulled a fast one on him. Sitroi means Mitzad Acher. Oh, this money is coming to us from a different loan, from a different direction. He owes us two loans. Thank you for repaying the first loan. Well, you want that loan document back? Pay up that loan as well. There's another loan on top of that which has now been repaid. Thank you. So they refused to return the document. Also, Lakamed Rabbi Avo. So Chama went back to his grandfather and told him the story. Look, they took the money, but they didn't give me a receipt. Amar Lehi asks him, Isnach Sahadi, perhaps do you have witnesses who observed that repayment, that Parisinu, who would come and testify that you paid him back? Amar Lehi says, sorry, no, I don't have Adam. Amar Lehi, so his grandfather tells him, too bad. Look, since the Yichoy Lima, they could say, Lo Yehoyu Dvarim Ma'olam, this thing never happened. We never received any payment. You can't disprove them. You don't have Edom. Yichoy Lin Nami Lame Masit Shroi Ninu. So they could also claim that this money was meant as repayment for a different loan that was owed to them. That's called a migul. Because had they wanted to lie, they could have lied better. It never happened. We never got any money. The fact that they are acknowledging, yes, we got, but it was for repayment of another loan. You have to take it as fact. You have to believe them. You have no choice. So bottom line is, the sender, Avimi, now lost his money. Of course, he denied that he owed him, you know, an additional loan. So now he lost all his money. In order to retrieve that shtar, he'll have to repay again. The question is, le'inyan shlimi shliach mai. So the shliach sort of caused this loss, right? Does he have to go and compensate his sender? Mai, what is the halach? Amar Rav Ashi. Chazidan, we take a look. We see. I amar le shkoilo shtara. V'hav zuzi. It all depends on what type of instructions he was given. If he told him, look, when you arrive at Chuzoy, make sure to take the document and then v'hav zuzi and pay the money. Evidently, he didn't follow instructions. He neglected the instructions. Mishalim. Now he has to repay the sender. It's all his fault. Rashi says it's a pshia. It's an outright neglect. But if he instructed him otherwise, if he reversed the order, he told him, hav zuzi, pay them back the loan, v'shkol shtara, and take the document. He didn't indicate that there's any reason to take the document first. These people are not trustworthy. Just pay them and take the shtar. In this case, he didn't have to be so vigilant, and he's not responsible for this result. Le Mishalim, he doesn't have to pay. Velohi says the Gemara is incorrect. Either way, he has to pay. Benkach or Benkach, whether he said it this way or that way, Mishalim, he has to repay the sender. The Amalei who tells him, look, you didn't do my job. L'tkuni shadartich, when I appointed you a shliach, I wanted you to help me out, not to mess me up. The fact that you weren't careful in how you dealt with my affairs makes you fully responsible. And Tosis points out, this is only applicable when he actually mentioned, when he actually made reference to the shtar. Get the shtar back. Well, let's say he wouldn't have mentioned shtar at all. You know, could you just repay my loan? In that case, he's not responsible, because he could say, you didn't make any mention of the receipt. Perhaps you trusted them. How would I know otherwise? But it's only because he mentioned, when he mentioned shtar, well, he's pretty much indicating that these people are not to be trusted. Make sure to get the shtar back. Well, obviously, do it in a way that you ensure that the shtar returns to me, which he didn't do in this case, and he's responsible. Hayita said there was a story about a woman. So a fellow deposited in her possession a satchel full of loan documents. So Reuven had a bunch of, you know, shtaris that people owed him money. He deposited them for safekeeping with this woman. It so happens to be that Reuven owed this woman money as well, and he passed away. Also Yershim Katavi Laminei Katavi. So the children of this departed Reuven come to the Isha. Can we have back our father's shtaris? And she's saying, look, your father owed me money, and I'm actually now in possession of his metaltalin. I'm going to hold this as a collateral to blackmail you, to make sure you pay me back that loan that your father owed me. I did tfisa of metaltalin. Lu, she tells them, mechaim tafisn lu. I'm not grabbing it now. I was already in possession of these documents from way back, during your father's lifetime. I was Tefis Mechaim, which even according to Rav Akiva works. So who's right? Asoy lekameder Rav Nachman. So she approached Rav Nachman. Amalah, he asks her the following question. I want to know, is lechsadi, perhaps do you have any proof, do you have edim, that what? Detav a mineich mechaim, that the father, the owner of those documents, actually approached you during his lifetime to retrieve those documents, and at that point you refused to return it to him, indicating that you're now taking possession as collateral for the loan that he owes you. Did that ever happen? She tells him, no, actually not. I don't have edim. Perhaps she meant it never happened. In Cain, if so, he says, you have no rights. Tfisa de la achar misa. The fact that you're in possession of these documents now, it's after his death. Utfisa de la achar misa v'loy klumi, it's worthless. In accordance with Shitas Rabbi Akiva, you can't do tfisa la achar misa. Now the question is, why is this called tfisa la achar misa? She was holding these things beforehand. The answer is very simple. Rashi explains. Let's go to Rashi. About 20, 25 lines from the top. Beginning with the words, have a tfisa de la achar misa. Listen to Rashi. Shekol zman shehaya chay, hayu pikadon biyadich. You see, during his lifetime, this woman was holding onto the documents on behalf of him. You know, a shomer, a person who is in possession of a deposit, is doing a service, is holding it for the depositor. It's as though his hand is representing the depositor's hand. It's as though the documents are sitting by Reuven, the depositor. That's not called tefisa. I'm not holding it for myself. I'm holding it for him. V'chi amrinan tefisa machaim. The idea of tefisa machaim means like this. K'goin she'ra'ohu karev lamus. The Baal Chayv sees, oh, this fellow is about to die. V'tavas metalton l'shem chayv. And it grabs a hold of metalton to be applied for repayment of that loan. V'lo yoyu pikadim liyadeh. I'm not speaking that those metalton was already put in my hands as a pikadim. Then it's a pikadim, it's not tefisa. It's the fundamental difference between tefisa and pikadim. Pikadim means I'm holding it for him. That's not called tefisa. But if he came over to me during his lifetime, give it back to me, please. Let me have it back. No, N-O. Why not? It's mine. Well, I know it's yours, but I want to hold on to it to make sure I get paid back the money you owe me. That's called a tefisa. Now I'm starting fresh. I'm grabbing hold of it for my sake. That's called tefisa. In which case, when he passes away, I'm in possession of these items as a tefisa. And I'm not taking it from the Yisrael. I already have it. You don't collect metalton from Yisrael. I'm not collecting from him. I already have it for myself. Continues the Gemara. Hai itasa. There's another story with a woman. The Yichai v'shavua beidina de rabba. Apparently somebody had a claim against her, which she denied, in which case the Chachamim imposed a Shavu'ah on her. She has to swear to substantiate her claim. Amra le Bas Rav Chizda. Rava was married to Rav Chizda's daughter. So Bas Rav Chizda, meaning Rava's wife, tells him quietly, listen, Yodana bodu chashuda Shavu'ah. I know this woman all too well. Oh, you can't trust her with a Shavu'ah. She's suspect of swearing falsely. So what do we do in this case? There's a standard procedure. Afcha Rava l'shvua asher kenegdus. Rava flipped the shvua, transferred it to the opponent. So instead of the isha swearing to absolve herself, to be paid to herself, the opponent will make a shvua and collect the funds. That's the standard procedure in the case of a chashud. Now there's another story. Zimnin, at a different time, havuyasvi kamei. So Rava was, you know, the Bezdin, and who was sitting before him? Rav Papa and Rav Adabar Masna. Aisu hahu shtar gabei. So a certain shtar arrives one day, a loan document. Amalei Rav Papa, so Rav Papa turns to his Rebbe Rava. You should know, it's no good, there's something wrong. Yadana be de shtar priyahu. I know for a fact that this loan document has already been paid up. Don't use it, don't collect on it. Amalei Rava asks him, well, can you prove this? Ika inish achrina b'hadi demar? Is there anybody else with you who will testify about this shtar with you? Amarlei, he says, lo, no. Amarlei, so Rabbi tells him, af agav de ikamar, even though you're standing here and testifying, that's not enough. Eid echad lav klumu. We all know that one aid doesn't really do the trick. Amarlei Rav Adabar Masna. So Rav Papa's colleague, Rav Ada, turns to the Rebbe Rava. You're not going to believe our friend, Rav Papa? Well, yeah, Rav Papa, you're not considering Rav Papa and Rav Papa's word and his trustworthiness like your wife? Kibash Rav Chizda, you trusted when it came to the story of the Shvua. And here Rav Papa is telling you, look, I know the shtar is paid up. You're not going to believe him? Answers the Gemara, a very interesting point. So Rav responded, Amar le bas Rav Chizda kim li begavo. My own wife, I know firsthand that she will never lie. I've already tested her over and over again. I know every word she says is MSV Hatziv. In which case, when she tells me something, I take it as fact. Mar lekim libigave, as opposed to Rav Papa, as important and prominent and chashev as he is, but I've never really tested him outright in matters of trustworthiness and MS, in which case, sure, I'll believe it, but I can't say kimli. It's absolute, it's like reality. Like, I feel it. I don't get to that point when it comes to Rav Papa, and therefore, I have no basis for putting the shtar into question. So it's interesting that he would take his wife's word and not Rav Papa. Rav Moshe Feinstein speaks about it. Igros Moshe, he says this point that it's not a matter of who do I trust more. You know, you can trust somebody, but it's still not fact, right? But when it comes to Bas Rav Chisda, who he tested, he had personal experience with her. Now when she says something, it's just, I feel it. It's me. And that's the difference. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa tells us, Hashta, the Amar Rabbana. Now that we know this concept, that Kimli Begave Milsahi, this idea of Kimli Begave, I know for a fact, I know with certainty, 100%, that it matters. It has weight. Even in absence of any real concrete, you know, proof in the matter, just Kimli alone is strong enough to sway matters. Kimli Begave is Milsahi, it's reckoned. So let's say Kigoin, Abba Mari. Abba Mari was the name of Rav Papa, Bri, my son. The Kimli Begave, by him it's Kimli. What he says by me is absolutely fact. Right? So if he tells me that this shtar, you know, he's talking theoretically. If he would testify against the shtar, Karano, shtar apumli, I would tear up a shtar based on his words. Karano salkatatach, you can tear up a shtar? So you're bringing, you know, you're bringing about a loss to its owner. You can't do that. It's like, bringing him a loss. You need Adam for that. You can't just have Kimli. Ella, rather, what he meant is like this. It's going to put it in limbo. Maran, ashtar apume. I'll put the ashtar in question based on his testimony. Now the question is, if you're putting in question, Lashon Vreyasa, right? You just put in a question, I can't really rely on the shtar, then isn't it tantamount to destroying the shtar? So the Rishonim asks us this kasha. And the Rosh says, what he meant is, you know, I can't act upon it. But if he goes to a different bezdin, sure, he can use it to collect. You know, there's halacha in Maseches Sanhedrin called din merumah. Let's say bezdin have edim, they have, you know, things, but something doesn't add up. It's something fishy. It's called din merumah. There's some question here in terms of what's going on. We learn from a pasuk, tzedek tzedek tirdeif, that they cannot act upon that. They can't proceed. They just, relieve themselves of their duties, they walk away, they don't, conclude. Similar concept here. Look, if somebody tells me this shtar is no good and I trust this person wholeheartedly, I can't act upon it, but it's not to say the shtar is possible. You can use it in a different bezin, who don't have this, this inkling. Tosfos learns differently. Meran l'shtar apume means that we need extra proof to substantiate the shtar. For instance, Tosfos says, we'll impose a shvu'o on the ba'al shtar, and only that will enable him to act, to collect with the shtar. Hayitasa, another story with a woman, the chayva shvur beidina drabevai barabai. So once again, she became chayva shvur. Right? There was a claim against her, which she denied, and a shvur was needed. Amar lehu ahu baldin. So the opponent tells the best, and look, I want to continue the legal procedure in her hometown. Tasi, let her come to Shtaba B'masa. She'll swear in her own hometown amongst, friends and family. Efshar, perhaps, is a chance to Michsefa. She'll be embarrassed to swear falsely. Umaydi, and she'll admit. Let's go over there. So the Isha said, okay, on one condition. Amr Lahu, she turns to them. Kisvali, I want you to compose a document. Zach Vasa, which will give me, Ezechus. Basically, it's saying that the Isha, her name is Rachel, Isha swore, and she won the case. The Chimishta Bana, Yavili, This way, as soon as I swear, you'll give me that document, right? Tesis learns. They write it up and they give it to a, you know, a third party for safekeeping. So you have a document which says, Rachel made a shvuah, she won the case, signed. We'll hold on to it in the meantime until she actually makes the shvuah. She wants to, you know, get it over with. Let's compose the document now. We'll travel there, I'll make the shvuah. A minute later, I'll have the document, I'll leave the court. Amalu Rabbeve Barabai, so Rabbeve says, fine, kiss for love, big deal, write it now. Hold on to it, and you give it to her later. Amar HaPapi, he wasn't impressed. Mishum Da Sisu Mimaloi, because you come from a family which are cut off. He came from Abaye, which was who was from the Bnei Eli, who had a curse imposed on them that they, you know, they don't live live out their life long years. So, just because you hail from that family, Amrisu Mili Mulyosi, you say cut off halachas, unsubstantiated, unsourced halachas. You can't do this. It's dishonest. Ha'amar Rava, Rava tells us, Hayashrata Dedaini. This means a henpek, a certification, which the Bezdin will stamp onto a shtar or write it separately as a certification, basically saying we investigated, we looked into the legitimacy of these signatures in the shtar, and we're here to confirm and to certify it. So this Ashrata, Rashi says, Ashrata is Lashon Chozik, like Yashar Kechacha, which is actually a Gemara in Yevamos, Yashar Kechacha. Your koyach, your spirits, your koyach should be strengthened and reinforced. So Ashrata means a reinforcement issued by the Dayani, by the judges. The Mikhtava, even if it was composed and written, Mikame before, the Nichvu, Sahadi, the Eidim will go and show and certify, Achasimos Yodayu, their signatures. Psula, you cannot use that Ashrata. So you can't compose it now and have it, you know, fill in the blanks later. Why? Alma Mechseke Shukr, it looks like falsehood. If you write it ahead of time, Hachnami as well, you're going to write the shtar, the Isha made a shvo before the fact. Mechseke Shikr, it appears like falsehood. You shouldn't do it. But the Gemara concludes, there's no concern, but less. How do I know? With the Rav Nachum, Damer Rav Nachum. Oymer Hayir Rav Meir. Rav Meir used to say, Afilu Metzoy Be Ashba. A fellow is walking by a trash bin, notices a get. He says, wow, perfect name, just for me. He took out the get, v'chasma v'nosin lo, had it signed, and gave it to the isha. Kasher, it works, because according to the mayor, the actual writing of the text of the get does not have to be with the intent that this ish and this isha will use it. You don't need lishma by the ksiva, only by the signatures, and that was done lishma. He actually signed it with himself in mind. Kasher, you can use it. Even though the get was written generically for somebody else, or it wasn't done. It wasn't directed at this specific incident. There's no concern. Va'afilu Rabbanan le'pligya le'der Rameir. Even the Rabban who disagree and don't allow it, that's only el begitei nashim. To be in ksiva l'shma. It's only by a get because it has to be written l'shma. With, you know, this divorce in mind. Aval b'shar shtar is moituli. When it comes to an ordinary shtar like a shtar choy, big deal. Who cares why it was written, when it was written? If it works, it makes sense, it matches, use it. Even though it was written before the fact, without this, you know, event in mind. Damar v'asi, Amar b'yichnan. Listen to this example. Shtar shalavavoy, upari. There was a shtar, which Shimon used to borrow from Reuven. Upari, and he already paid it up. Can he borrow again based on the same shtar, save a few pennies, you know, use it, recycle the same shtar? Yes, really, he could do it. But you can't re-borrow with it. This is a technical problem. You see, when the Eidim sign is Shtar Chayiv, what they are doing is formalizing it. And that causes, you know, the news to spread, the word to get out, and the potential buyers will beware and be careful to keep away from the borrower's properties, lest they fall into a trap and have to give up the property when the Baal Chayv comes to claim his loan. Right? So once you have the shtar paid up, it's sort of canceled. You can't just reuse the same shtar again. Nobody will find out that there was another loan with the same shtar. We have no Edom here, there's no tumult, there's no, you know, news going out, and therefore you can't use the shtar again to collect from Karka, Shekvar Nimchal Shibud, because the Shibud, his claim on the person's, you know, land, has already been, had expired. It's been, nimcha means forgiven, but here means it's been done with already, once the loan has been repaid. So there's a side technical point when it comes to Shiva, but in terms of the halacha of the shtar itself, there seems to be no issue in terms of integrity and honesty. Reusing the same shtar, which was meant for a different loan. The concern is because of the shibud. Aval mechzik is shekra lo yechay shinan. But in terms of appearing like falsehood, mechzik is shekra, there's no concern. See, the point is, it's all about the result, the titzah, the effect. It's not about what you write, when you write it. It's about misleading. It's about falsehood. There's no issue of falsehood. Not in the case of reusing the shtar. Everybody's fully fine using the shtar again. In terms of the get, in terms of the ashrata d'daini, as long as it's actually only issued later, you can write it before. And likewise, in our case with the isha, who demanded a shtar to her benefit, you can write it now, provided you don't actually give it to her until the appropriate time. How garva, there was a story about a fellow da'afkid who deposited seven marganisa, pearls or diamonds, the tsairi b'sadina, which were wrapped up in a cloth. Where did he deposit it? Bei Rabbi Miyashia bar Brei de Rav Shimon Levi, with his fellow. Shochav Rabbi Miyashia passed away. V'lo pocket, and he failed to instruct his family. Rashi says, he died suddenly. Also look at Rav Ami. So they approached Rav Ami. This fellow wanted his diamonds back. Amar Lei, Rav Ami ruled to his benefit. Chada, number one. So he had two reasons. Number one, Yadana, Beber Rav Miyashia bar Brei de Rav Shimon Levi. I know for a fact that this fellow, who is now in possession, or his kids were in possession, this fellow, I know, he's not a wealthy man. He wasn't known as a wealthy man who, you know, who would be purchasing these diamonds. Apparently, it's not really his. But another reason, Hakayav Simona. Fact is, the alleged depositor is claiming, look, this is mine, I'm showing you. It's seven wrapped in a cloth, a very unique and specific Simon, which indicates that it's his. Tesis explains, you need two reasons. Loi Amid would indicate that it's not really Rav Miyashia's, because it's not appropriate to his socioeconomic standing. Number two, the Simon indicates that it's yours. You know, maybe it's not Rav Miyashia's, maybe it's somebody else. So the Simon proves ownership. But V'lei Amar, and this is only said, Ela D'lei Ragil D'ayil V'nafik L'hasim. This claimer was not a frequent in and out guest in this home. Aval Ruggle, the Isle of Anafik Lhasim, but let's say he was a frequent guest in that home. Giving a simon of seven in a wrapped thing doesn't say much. Ema ine shachrina afkit. Perhaps somebody else deposited it there, and he happened to notice it. V'yu mechsechaza, he happened to notice it, now he's claiming that it's his. Another story, we're going to have three stories in total to show this is a clear-cut accepted halacha. How garva, another fellow, the afkid kasa de kaspa, he deposited a silver goblet, be chasa, with the fellow called chasa. Shachav chasa passed away, vele pocketed, failed to instruct. Also, commander Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman, his fellow claimed that it's his. The kid said, look, I don't know. And maybe it's our father's. Maybe he found it. And it's really his. Amar Luhu, so Rav Nachman said the same thing. Yodana be bechasa de le'amid. I know for a fact, chasa was not expected to afford this type of material. V'oi, number two, koyav simona. This fellow is providing a simon to indicate the ownership. Vele amara, this is only true. Ella de Ruggle, the Isle of Anafik Lhasim, this fellow is not in and out of this house. Avo Ruggle, the Isle of Anafik Lhasim, but let's say he's a frequent guest. Amar, there's always concern. Inish Achrina Afkid, perhaps somebody else deposited there, and he happened to notice it. Now he's claiming that it's his. Iu Mechsechaz, and he happened to notice it. Mechsechaz. Havo the Afkid Mataksa, there's another fellow who deposited a silk garment. Bei Rav Dimi, with a fellow called Rav Dimi, who was Achvad Rav Safra. Brother of Safra, who passed away, Shach Rav Dimi, v'lo pocket, failed to instruct. Also, al-kamei Rav Abba, they approached Rav Abba. Amar Luhu, he gave them the same two reasons to indicate that it belongs to the claimer. Chada, number one, the Adana, baby Rav Dimi, I know for a fact Rav Dimi was not estimated to have owned this type of thing. V'oi, number two, who could have simon, isn't this fellow giving a simon which indicates that it's his? V'lo Amaran, this is only to be relied upon, elo d'lo rugel, the Isle of Anafik Lhasim. If he's not a frequent guest at this home, Avol Ruggle, the Isle of Anafik Lhasim, but if he's a visitor, Eimab, there's a concern that Ina Shachrina Afkid, somebody else gave it, V'yu Mechsechaz, and he happened to notice it, and he's claiming it as his. Hahu da Amarlu, so this fellow before his passing gave the following instructions. Nechasai, my assets should go to this fellow called Tuvia. Nechasai L'Tuvia. Was that her last name? You have no idea who this fellow is. Shachiv, in fact, this fellow passes away. And guess who shows up? Tuvia. Also Tuvia. Amra B'yechanon, give it to him. Haribo Tuvia, look. He asked for Tuvia. Tuvia showed up. Apparently, this is the right Tuvia. And then Farshim explained. The fact that he showed up right away indicates that he thought that, you know, he meant him. Otherwise, he wouldn't just risk his reputation by coming and saying, I'm the Tuvia. If he has no connection to this fellow. The fact that he showed up is a true indication that, in fact, this fellow felt close, and it's reasonable to assume that, in fact, he's the fellow that the departed person had in mind. But let's say Omar Tuvia. The mace mentioned Tuvia. And guess who shows up? Also Rav Tuvia, a fellow by the name of Rav Tuvia surfaces. Is that the same thing? Well, no. L'Tuvia Omar. He asked for Tuvia. L'Rav Tuvia L'Omar. He didn't ask for Rav Tuvia. But V'inish the Gispe. Well, let's say this fellow is, you know, friendly with him. Sometimes, you know, closeness breeds informality. Hagispe, because of that closeness, perhaps instead of referring to him with his full title, Rav Tuvia, he dropped the Rav, and it makes sense that it's the same person. What about Asur Shnei Tuvia? Now we're in trouble. Two people show up with the name Tuvia. Who do you give it to? Well, it depends. If one is a Shachin, just a neighbor, and the second one is a V'talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham Koidim, you assume that he had the Talmud Chacham in mind, Rashi says, presumably a person, you know, before death, gets very serious and righteous, and the biggest schus is to give and support a Talmud Chacham. Certainly he had the Talmud Chacham in mind. The same if it's a choice between a Karev and Talmud Chacham, a relative or a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham takes priority, he's Koidim. Iboy Lu, here comes an interesting question. Shachin v'Karev Mai. Let's say, two fellows with the name Tuvia show up, one of them a neighbor down the block, the other one a relative. Which one did he have in mind? Toshma, we have a pasuk in Mishlei. Toiv, shachin kariv, ma'ach rachek. You have more benefit from a close relative, a close neighbor than a distant brother. So, a neighbor close by certainly gets priority. Shneim kariv, shneim shchenim, shneim chacham. Let's say they're both of equal stature. Both have the same title, relatives or neighbors or chachamim. Now the dayan has to make his decision. Shuda the dayni. Shuda literally means to toss, to throw. Rashi says, dayan sits down and evaluates and investigates this matter. Chances are he would like this one over that one. That person's a better person, a closer person. They have to come to some sort of conclusion based on their judgment. Tosfos disagrees. He says Shuda means it's just given to the dayan's discretion. Whatever he chooses, he can do. No, so Tosfos says he'll be paid off. Somebody will give him, you know, some bribe. He says, well, no dayan accepts bribes. Otherwise, he's not a dayan. We're speaking about a legitimate dayan. It's up to him. He can decide. Amale Rava Lebrei, he told the son of the Rav Chia Bar Avin, come, Amalech, I'll tell you, Milsa Mal Yusuf, something good, the Hava Amar Avuch that your father used to say. Hod Amar Shmuel, listen to this interesting halacha from Shmuel. Hamaychar Shtar Chayv Lechaver, you know you could actually sell a Shtar Chayv. Let's say Shimon owes Reuven money, Shimon, Reuven could take that Shtar and sell it to Levi. And now Levi can claim Shimon's, you know, the loan from Shimon. Tosfos says, tzad here, that's even not Torah. There's such a thing as selling a shtar. So a moicher shtar chayv l'chaver, Reuben sells his shtar to Levi. V'chazor machle, and Reuben turns around and forgives the loan. It works. Machle. It's done. V'afilu yerish moichle. Even if Reuben, the seller, passes away, and Reuben has a son, that Yerush is considered the primary claimant. He is the Baal Dover. He is the, you know, the main player here. So even though he sold the Shtar, the fact is he was the one who lent the money. He has the ability to forgive that loan. Isn't that phenomenal? He can sell it. The other person can claim it. But the fact is the seller, who's the actual Baal Chayv, who lent that money, he is the Baal Dover. He is the one that generated the chayv, he's still connected to it, and he can just forgive it. But There's one exception. Moedah Shmuel, even Shmuel would agree in the following case. Machnesa shtar chayv lebala. A woman marries and brings along a shtar chayv, indicating that somebody owes her money. So now that shtar chayv is sort of incorporated into the marriage arrangements, like a nichsei melug, nichsei barzel, and the husband sort of has a schus on that. So now she can't give up that chayv, because he's an equal partner. V'chazra machlosa, she turns around and gives up the loan. She'ein machl, it's totally ineffected, because the husband's hand, so to speak, his hold, his rights, his ownership in that loan, kiyada, is equal to hers, in which case she can't just unilaterally give up that chayv. Okay, so what did we learn today? We started with the story with the boat. So there was a Baal Chayv who asked his friend to grab a hold of the boat, back and forth. Maskan of the Gemara is, Rava wasn't really happy. He said, look, that's supposed to do Tfisa Lachar Misa. We hold like a Rekiva. These are Yisayimim. This is Metatlan. We have no business grabbing their possessions. We had the Shliach who was sent to repay the loan, failed to bring back his shtar. He's held responsible. He didn't do his job properly. An Isha who says, look, I'm holding the shtar. Michaim doesn't work unless she refused to return it during his lifetime, in which case it became a personal holding. She's doing it for herself. That's called tfisa. But just holding it, watching it for that person, that's not called tfisa. It's the opposite. You're holding it for him, not for yourself. We learned about the concept of kimli. A dayan can be so assured about something to the point that he just has to back off, even without an absolute concrete proof. The conclusion of the Gemara was you can write a document, a shtar, a get, etc., even before the fact, as long as it's not going to be abused or misused. It's not called Mechzik HaShikra. We had the story of the fellow who got back his items from the Yisoyimim based on two reasons. It was assumed that the departed person was not really the rightful owner. Number two, we had a siman to prove that it's his. We had the whole story about giving away the Nechasim to Tuvia and all the different variations of that halacha. A Moicher Shtar Chayv can be Moichel, but not if the Isha is now married because her husband has an equal ownership on that shtar, in which case she can't just turn around and be Moichelet. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.